Janae, Angola Jr., the podcast.
The crown jewel, the first half of the Major League season, found his way to the center of conversation. Some of it for what's gone on the diamond, some of it for what we do off of it. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake, going to join us like she always does at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We got a good guest list for you today. We'll get you ready for the Olympics upcoming here. Laurie Hernandez is going to join us, two-time Olympian. Chris Singleton as we get set for the MLB All-Star Game that is tonight. We had the Home Run Derby festivities last night, which will lead us to a very interesting guest that we've got coming up in about 10 minutes. You may have seen him falling over one of the banisters in the crowd, diving for a home run ball, and I think we might have managed to track him down. So we will get to all of that in just a little bit here. But so much of today, yesterday, I should say, ended up being dominated by conversation around Shohei Ohtani, the star two-way player for the Los Angeles Angels, who has slowly become the face of Major League Baseball. And that statement was really at the crux of this. We saw the comments made on First Take yesterday, the apology made on First Take today, and the kind of debate that's ensued around this here. Because what last night was supposed to be was a celebration of Shohei Ohtani's gifts, right? Like, getting to that home run derby last night, you had the leader in home runs in the Major League, who we know was getting set to pitch, be the starting pitcher in the MLB All-Star Game coming up tonight, bat leadoff for that team, and was the number one seed in the home run derby. Like, all of this was supposed to be a coronation, and instead, what yesterday felt like was unfortunately something all too familiar for folks who find themselves outside of the majority at times in this country, which is a defense of why you are here with the things that you have. That's what it felt like, and that was unfortunate. That was not what it was supposed to be yesterday. We had June Lee come in with us, our ESPN MLB writer who just happens to be Korean-American, came in here talking about, this is not what I wanted to spend my day talking about. But instead, those are the kind of things that were dumped in his lap because of the way we talk about this. And you've already heard and seen, I'm sure you've been online and seen some of the bad faith, disingenuous arguments that have popped up in here. Because remember what this all goes back to. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, was this idea of, is this bad for baseball? We do that question a lot with sports where we're afraid to dive past a certain point, right? Is this good or bad for X sport? And that was how it was posed. Is it bad for baseball that the face of the league happens to be a player whose primary language is not English? And so that's something that, remember, it's posed that way as a question. But it doesn't mean you got to answer it one way or the other here, because there was still room for the answer of course not. But the decision got made here, and so we all had to come out here and restate what should be obvious about Shohei Ohtani, but maybe isn't, about what he's overcome being someone who comes to this country with English as his second language. Who, I mean, I said to someone the other day, imagine what you felt like going on vacation to a place where English is the second language, and you feel a little bit out of water, and you feel a little bit out of place, and you're just trying to figure out how to order dinner at the hotel that still largely caters to English speakers. Now imagine taking that feeling and trying to do that, battle that feeling, while also being the best at the thing you came here to do. Like, that was something that was driven home time and time again by June Lee and Jeff Passan and plenty of others here. So it should go deeper than that, because if you want to turn it the other way and say, as Shohei Ohtani becomes more proficient in English, a language he already knows, by the way, will that help him be more marketable inside the sport around baseball? Absolutely, it will help with those things over in this country. Is it a barrier to him being the face of the sport? Hell no, because what I thought, and this thing that I'm constantly led to believe by so many people, that's the great part about sports, is it's a meritocracy, right? We hear that over and over again. The way I would phrase it is this, before we get to the actuals of the home run derby. We talk about love languages all the time on this show. What are the love languages of sport? Right? Like, I came up playing football. And listen, football is my primary sport, but I loved plenty of other sports. I enjoyed watching plenty of other sports, Major League Baseball included. The love languages are ability and accomplishment here, right? Like, that's what you remember. You all hear that tired cliche, the one that people use on Hallmark cards and make fun of. You know, I forget who said the actual quote here. Maybe someone get me on this. It's become so interwoven that you kind of, I kind of attribute it to the universe. People will forget what you said, but they won't forget the way you made them feel. Like, I can't tell you a damn thing Mark McGwire said other than to Congress during the home run races with Sammy Sosa in the late 90s and the early 2000s. I can't tell you a damn thing him or Sammy or Barry Bonds said during that time, but I can tell you how tuning in, watching broadcasts break into areas where they were at reach of records, I can remember how that made me feel, because that was when I most enjoyed watching baseball as a kid. That's what I identify, because those were my formative years here. And so that part of it I will always go back to as we look around sports and we say, all right, is that really something we still need to talk about here? Or can we understand that most sports, we see this with the NBA all the time, we certainly understand this with Major League Baseball with the makeup of the sport, the goal has always been to create a more global game. I mean, hell, how often do we talk about the NFL getting ready to full wholesale ship the Jacksonville Jaguars over to London in this effort to continue to expand the game? Like, that's supposed to be the idea, that you can go out, continue to spread the game, and bring it to areas where it may not have been, and continue to make it popular. With the thought that, man, something like a Shohei Ohtani would one day be possible then. A player so good in another league that would want to come over to America and share that gift with us, because that's what it's been. Like, you look at the home run derby from last night with Shohei Ohtani. His joy was palpable out there. Like, listen to him talking about the All-Star experience overall. Shohei Ohtani, Angels megastar, last night.
Yeah, I was actually not expecting to be chosen as a pitcher at all. But to be named the starter, I was really not expecting that at all. But it's a huge honor, and I'm going to try my best.
And something Shohei has said he wanted to do for the fans. Because I heard this earlier in the day on Greeny. I heard our friend Paul Hembakides upset at the amount of players that had turned down the invitation to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Guess who not only didn't turn it down, but wanted to do all of these things, wanted to participate in all of these ways, because he values the fans. He values people's faith in him, the way people enjoy watching him, enough to go out there and do something that, quite frankly, I'm sure the Angels, while they understand, man, we've got such a unique thing here. We're a bad baseball team, the way we kind of always have been. But we've got something special here, and so we're going to continue to share it with the league in this way. We're going to give our blessing for Shohei to do all of these things in the All-Star Game, even though there could be a very real fear. Like, I'm sure some Angels fans breathed a sigh of relief last night when Shohei Ohtani got eliminated in the first round of that, so that he wasn't swinging all the way through the end of this thing, right? So that you weren't getting all those cuts in there. And so, yeah, Shohei Ohtani got dropped in the first round by Juan Soto in a 1-8 matchup that, you know, I remember talking to June and Clinton Yates and these guys saying people were kind of nervous about to begin with. So people understood that was always a possibility. But we always talk about in this business, what's your hook? What are you getting people into the conversation for? Shohei Ohtani was the hook for the home run derby. Like, if you stayed to watch Pete Alonso win, if you stayed to take in some of the great stories around the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and there were a lot of them there, right? Like Trey Mancini and what he ended up doing, the run he went on after battling colon cancer and surviving that. What a great story he'd been for baseball, culminated in this kind of run. Pete Alonso going back-to-back. All of this you stuck around to see, because Shohei Ohtani was the draw. You saw it in that entire stadium. You saw it. Hell, Trey Mancini even said, man, I felt like I should have been maybe practicing or doing something else, but I didn't want to miss Shohei up at bat. And so if that's at the center of all this, if Shohei is the draw with that kind of gravity, then we're really not about to let something like language stop us from celebrating the objectively awesome thing at the center of all of this. At Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, we can continue to talk about this as the day goes on, but this is one of those conversations that, to me, it feels very easy, because, again, the way I've always viewed sports is, man, what you say is great and can maybe help you sell a few more of X, Y, or Z. We've talked about media availability being an important part of growing some sports, but at the end of the day, it's about accomplishment. It's about what you do. It's about what you win. Sound bites from Nick Saban and Tom Brady are, you know, they're fine. Every once in a while, one of them gets mad or actually says something interesting. But for the most part, we like those guys because they hoist the trophy every year. And so if Shohei keeps doing this stuff, I don't know how you deny him what is rightfully his as center stage in this entire deal. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, though, as we talk about highlights from the Home Run Derby last night. We saw about everything that you'd expect there, right? We actually got a swing-off in the Home Run Derby last night, the three-shot swing-off between Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto in that first round. We got kids running around in the outfield making web gym catches, and one kid, it looked like, got a little bit banged up, but he was still rocking out there in the outfield. And we saw one fan try and risk it all in the name of a home run ball. Was it worth it? Would he have done the same thing again if given the chance? We'll ask him next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Gwimike, as always, going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. And we got a bunch going on today. Team USA managed to lose again in the men's basketball side of things, so we've got plenty of that to figure out. There is some things starting to circle out there about Ben Simmons and his future with the Philadelphia 76ers. We will get the Philadelphia community around here at ESPN Radio to weigh into this as we go along. But we had the Home Run Derby last night, and if you were perusing the internets like I was during the Home Run Derby, you probably saw an image of a man risking it all for one of the home runs hit into the stands here, selling out, and unfortunately meeting a railing in the process of that and falling over in dramatic fashion there. That image and video swept around the internet, and so, of course, we had to go find out more about who this man is. And so, to help us figure out what exactly was going through his mind, Bennett Lloyd, the Home Run Derby fan who fell over the railing, is good enough to join us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Bennett, what's going on, man? How you feeling? Doesn't appear as though we've got audio from Bennett right now. We're going to effort this and make sure that we can get him back and get the story on here once we get through with him. Again, Bennett Lloyd is the fan who last night fell over the railing at the baseball game here. And I just genuinely want to know, because I saw a lot of people pointing out this idea of, man, there were going to be more home runs hit. Was it worth selling out? And that, listen, that's not what's going through your head when something's in the air. As someone who is, I think, one of the foremost experts and foremost proponents of going after things shot out of t-shirt cannons, any of those elastic bands that they've used during this process is here. I love selling out for something that is presumably an item of value in the crowd. So I get where he was coming from in this spot. And I get with this Home Run Derby in particular. I mean, this was top to bottom, I'd say, one of the more exciting Home Run Derbies in a while. Now, I know most of us, we're trying to get through this thing and see, you know, Shohei Ohtani win it all. Pete Alonso ends up going back and repeating as champion. There was no competition last year, and so he went 2019 and 2021 as repeat champions. And Pete Alonso did it looking like one of those golf ball swinging robots. Just the same, even, line drive, monster, Donkey Kong swing the entire time here. That man earning his polar bear moniker in the way that he beat the hell out of those baseballs here. And so I understand you're being asked to execute, make these decisions on the fly. For any offensive lineman out there that's enjoyed a day of pat and go like the wide receivers get, where you've gone up and tried to make any of those big plays and toe tap your feet at the same time, it's more than most of us bargained for here. So, Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Now we're going to try it again. I believe we've got him on the phone now. Bennett Lloyd, the Home Run Derby fan who fell over the railing. Bennett, are you there? Do we got you?
Yes, sir.
Bennett, what's going on, man? How are you feeling today, the morning after the fall?
I feel fine. Honestly, it didn't really hurt that bad. I was just I wanted to get that ball. That's all.
Well, I was going to say, so walk us through the lead up to that moment here. Kind of give us the sense of what had been going on. What had your day been like leading up there?
So obviously was just anxious to get up, like, watch the Home Run Derby. And obviously watching him in BP, he was pulling every ball, so Raz Olsen got up. I was like, all right, I want to get one of his. And obviously that one came really close. And, well, I've decided to dive over the railing to try and get it. And it tipped off my glove.
Oh, so did you end up not walking away with that ball?
No, I did not get anything. No, I didn't get the ball. It went down to the concourse and somebody just walked away with it.
Oh, my God. I mean, my mind, that's inconsiderate out of them after seeing the effort that you put forth there. So who was the first person that you saw right after that fall?
I think my stepdad, and then also the gate guy who works right there, who was talking to us pretty much the whole game anyways.
What did they say to you?
They were just in shock. Like, did you catch it? That was the first thing. But thanks, I didn't get a ball or anything. So,
got it. And now, who's your favorite team? You mentioned this was during Matt Olson's at bat here. So, are you an A's fan?
No, I'm actually a Braves fan, but I like Olson as a player himself.
Got it. All right, we got a Braves fan in here. I'm sorry for the Ronald Acuña Jr. loss there during this season here. That's certainly not adding to the fun in this situation here. So now, are you sticking around for the rest of All-Star Weekend? Like, are you going to stick around for the festivities tonight? Is there any shot for redemption on this front for you? As we are joined by Bennett Lloyd, the fan who fell in attempting to catch one of Matt Olson's home run balls last night at the Derby. Do you have a shot at redemption tonight, or have we already packed it in?
I've got the same seats as last night.
Oh,
so,
all right.
That railing's mine tonight.
There we go. So now, have you upgraded the glove? Are you going with the same glove, or are we keeping the process? Are we changing things up a bit?
I think I'm going to go with a little bigger glove.
All right, there we go. Bigger glove, same seats. And now I have to imagine, Bennett, that you walk into the stadium now as a little more of a known commodity, right? Like, people in that section are going to understand what happened last night. Do you think you'll get any help in efforting to try and get one of these home run balls now?
You'd hope.
All right, Bennett. Well, you know
that's
what?
My goal.
We're going to do our best to try and speak this into existence for you, to try and will your spot in this world into getting a home run ball tonight. Bennett, we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. We're glad that you made this out unscathed. And listen, fingers crossed for you, man. Go grab that net and catch that beautiful butterfly tonight, all right?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Bennett Lloyd, the fan who fell over the railing, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, listen, I think above all of that, because we see so many instances around Major League Baseball where see a ball go into the stands, older fan catches it, kid was clearly supposed to be the target, and they give it to him. I am amazed and somewhat disgusted that no one else in that crowd or in that concourse ended up getting that man that baseball. He earned that through effort, and it should be his. So I think we're all rooting for Bennett tonight, heading into the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And remember, Chris Singleton, who's going to be on the call tonight, will be joining us later on the show to get you ready for the other things not related to who is going to catch what home run in the stands. But coming up next, we got to head to Philadelphia, because what I have been trying to say since before last season has apparently finally sunk in for fans of the Philadelphia 76ers. We will get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates even faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So, if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Should the 76ers finally be ready to part ways with one of their stars? Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So we went through it with Reggie Bush not too long ago, as we had all the changing rules around college athletics popping up around name, image, and likeness players being able to make some money. Now, we'll get to one other group of players that's now come to the table with the NCAA and said, hey, we need to run a few things back here. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Our thanks to Bennett Lloyd, the home run derby fan who fell over the railing last night trying to catch a home run ball. He joined us in the last segment here. Ready to go tonight, though. He's going to redeem himself. Same seats tonight for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game that you guys will be able to hear coming up in just a bit. But also heard something else today. So we'd spent a lot of time this NBA season, especially in the postseason, talking about Ben Simmons and what his career has now become in Philadelphia. Because for a long time, this felt like the outside world, the national media, basketball fans, and the rest of the country against fans in Philadelphia who were positioned to defend Ben Simmons. And you guys know Cliff, our great producer on the show here, Philadelphia native, Temple alum. Cliff, is that fair of me to say that before this season, it kind of felt like Philly fans were the ones defending Ben Simmons against people like me?
100%. And let me just say this, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah, well, and you know what? And that's, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, ask you to say it, Cliff, but it feels good to be acknowledged. But I get it, right? Like, this is the way it works. Fans closer to the situation are conditioned to think, hey, we know this a little better than everyone else. And with Ben Simmons, I get what there is to like. But I also firmly believe that it was the right decision, and it should have been, to move him before the season, to move heaven and earth to try and get him in a package for someone like James Harden. And I still believe now that it's the right decision for the Philadelphia 76ers to do everything they can to move Ben Simmons now this offseason.
It's with deep regret. We should have got James Harden when we could have. Like, imagine Harden and Embiid on a pick and roll. That would have been filthy. But now, like, I'm just looking back at it, I'm just like, we probably passed up a championship just to keep Ben Simmons because we think his potential was there. And it still is there. Like, he's still a talented player. My problem is he has no dog in him. He has no fight in him. He gives up too easily. The pass that he gave up to Matisse Thybulle in that Atlanta game in Game 7 when he could have dunked the basketball, instead he threw it to Matisse Thybulle, who's in double coverage, and said something along the lines of like, I thought I was going to get fouled, just shows me he's just scared. Like, how are you scared? Like, look at Giannis every night. He'll go up there, miss half his free throws, come back to the line with confidence, and make the next one and still go at you all game long. Ben Simmons doesn't have that dog in him whatsoever.
And you're right, Cliff. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. This is about a couple of things. I think one of them is what you just mentioned, which is in Philadelphia, they can't tolerate that. Like, above everything else in Philadelphia, when you think of the fans, right, wrong, or indifferent, however you want to judge Philly fans from the outside, everybody knows the thing they value is that blue-collar tough stuff. And it's the stuff that they saw Embiid on the other side giving them in a series where he came into that Eastern Conference Finals knowing he had a tear in that meniscus, and it still didn't affect the way he tried to go out there and unload on everybody during that. To watch Ben Simmons on the other side do that, that's something that folks can't tolerate around there. And I understand that. But I look at this and I still say, you brought up the word that's been at the center of all this. Every person I've ever talked to who defends Ben Simmons. As right now we saw reports from The Athletic, sources telling them that the Sixers have opened up trade conversations surrounding Ben Simmons and have engaged with teams. Those sources say that teams have engaged with the Sixers about Simmons have been met with a high price threshold for the three-time All-Star. They want to get an All-Star caliber player in return. And I think they should. Because what this comes down to is that potential still has value, plenty of value for somebody else. Because it's not about the potential in Ben Simmons. It's not about what you can fix if you get him mentally right. Because that seemed to be what it was, right? Like, the 6 inches between his ears were off in that playoff run. And it just got worse as it went along there. The pressure continued to break the pipes. But what this is about, it's not about the potential of Ben Simmons. It's about what you know you've got in Joel Embiid, right? And what you know you've got in Joel Embiid is a player who is talented enough to be the best player on a championship team, but you also know clock's ticking. Because that's a big man with a big body that has already shown signs of wear and tear. And so this isn't about what you can salvage with Ben Simmons. It's about what you owe to Joel Embiid right now.
Exactly. Like, we don't have time to wait on him for an extra 2-3 years. Like, Embiid's going to be on the back end of his career at that point, right? As a big, you're going to be 30 years old. Embiid would be like 30 years old at that time. Like, will he still be a top 5 caliber player in the league at that point in time?
And he'll be a 30 years old with the mileage on his body, yeah, that we've seen, right? Like, there's differences. If he got to 30 and he hadn't had all these blemishes, hadn't had all these season-ending type injuries, that'd be a different story. But we know what his – I mean, hell, Embiid's overcome a lot narrative arc-wise for him, physically being able to be out on the court enough to be in these conversations the last few years.
And not for nothing, he deserves a better running mate. Like, he called Ben out basically on that final presser when he was like, there was one play where somebody passed the ball up when he was underneath the net. The score was tied at that point. Matisse misses the free throw, and then Atlanta just goes on a run and wins Game 7. Like, we need to do better for Joel, and Ben Simmons is not it, and I don't think he's committed to being it. Like, I don't think he's committed to actually becoming a better basketball player. I think he's satisfied in what he does, playing defense, assisting, doing essentially like the dirty work, and which he's really good at, but we need more from a number two player.
You do, and I think I've had that feeling about Ben Simmons. Now, we know he's not with the Australian national team, who, by the way, just beat Team USA, which is its own thing to talk about.
Out to Matisse Thybulle, by the way.
I'm sure they were ecstatic to have him, Ben Simmons, taking the time off, though, to focus on his game. Focus on his individual improvement this offseason. And so we can have disagreements about, you know, this idea that it's taken him this long to want to invest in himself individually in a way that would move him past those sticking points. But again, to me, I just keep looking at it more about someone else. Even if Ben Simmons goes somewhere else and succeeds, that doesn't make this the wrong move for the Philadelphia 76ers. There's too much history to overcome. And again, there's a clock that got started, because the one thing I did hear from some Philadelphia fans that I do know was during this year, as we saw Joel Embiid on the court enough to be a runner-up for the MVP, to be a guy that we looked at night in and night out as this otherworldly space alien performer that injury had kind of robbed some of in prior years. As he got to that point, I started to hear Philadelphia fans say something that I can now agree with, which is, why don't we hear people say Philadelphia should be moving heaven and earth to build a team around Joel? The same way we've said about Giannis for a number of years, the same way we said about Anthony Davis when he was in New Orleans, the same way we said about LeBron when he was in Cleveland the first time around. And that's the point we're at right now, where I'm looking and saying, Philly, you're right. And that's why you have to get rid of this guy in particular. Now, Ben Simmons might be making moves out of Philly.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
And again, I think that would be the right move. The source is telling The Athletic that the Sixers have opened up these conversations, and I think they will get a quality player in return for Ben Simmons, and I think it was a move they should have made last year. But again, it's never too late to do the right thing, especially when you know what you've got in Joel Embiid and have realized, hey, we're this close to something special if we can just get a little bit more from the guy that's supposed to be the next best. But coming up next, trying to get a little bit more is what we have been looking for, what I've been looking for college athletes for a while. Why one group of former players has stepped forward and saying, we don't want more, we just want what's right. That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. here. Janae Gwimike going to join us in about 10 minutes coming off practice. Very interested in a couple of things with her. We know Team USA lost again. They followed up their loss to Nigeria, one of the bigger upsets in Team USA men's basketball history in an exhibition match. They followed that up with a loss to Australia. It was a very good team. It's a team that's been competing well at a high level. Patty Mills had a big game for them. But the tension that's starting to build there right now, we'll hear from Greg Popovich, who was very frustrated in the media after in a little bit, and I want to hear from Chiney on that front. But also, what we talked about with Shohei Ohtani, and what June Lee and Jeff Passan and a number of people have brought up with him is, he deserves a lot more credit than we're even giving him for accomplishing as much as he has right now, being in a country where English is his second language, where that's a difficulty, where, yeah, he knows English, but you know, he uses a translator because it makes him feel more comfortable. When he's talking to the media, he wants his words to be his own and feel comfortable in how he's presenting himself. Chiney and a number of WNBA players and stars routinely go and play overseas, go play in different countries where English might be the second language there. And so very curious what her experience has been like there. But one of the experiences that we've been talking about a lot as of late has been the changes with name, image, and likeness. And I saw a lot of people have strong reactions. This is really similar to Sha'Carri Richardson and what we went through, this conversation about rules, how we follow them and the punishments versus what the nature of the rule is and has it outlived its utility. We saw that happen in the world of college sports. And so we had Reggie Bush asking the NCAA, asking the Heisman Trust, I want my Heisman Trophy back. And I agreed with him. I think it should have come back. I think that's an easy thing to remedy there now that you've seen, all right, this thing that we were punishing was kind of nonsensical in the grand scheme of things. But we had another group step forward, and I'll be very interested to see how they're received. Let's hit this group in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and done is brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So I didn't know, had they gone by this nickname before, the Tattoo Five from Ohio State. You might remember Terrell Pryor, star quarterback from Ohio State, Devere Posey, wide receiver, Solomon Thomas, Mike Adams, and Daniel Boom Heron were among the five players back in the day at Ohio State, back in 2010, who ended up being disciplined for receiving free tattoos and other impermissible benefits in exchange for their memorabilia. These guys, it was thing like the gold, gold pant medallion that they were given after beating Michigan here. Some other articles of clothing from them. Terrell Pryor in 2010 was ruled to have sold a sportsmanship award from the 2008 Fiesta Bowl and his 2008 Big Ten championship ring, among other things, for tattoos. All of these things that you might remember from that headline, this just being about tattoos and Ohio State. What ended up happening, though, is a lot of victories, a lot of accomplishments, and head coach Jim Tressel all losing their status with Ohio State, having their worlds change. Well, that group has come forward now, and this is another instance where I look at what they're asking for, and I say, what should stop us from reinstating this? The Tattooed Five, as they're called, sent out a letter saying, our time has come, we should get our wins back, records back, and the legacy of Jim Tressel back, and not looked past. The NCAA suspended us, but let us play in the Sugar Bowl win against Arkansas. Remember, they were suspended, but were controversially allowed to come back and play in a game against Arkansas, to go out there and entertain. And that's just the point of all this for me. They were allowed to play. Now, Terrell Pryor, the game suspension was supposed to start next year. He never ended up playing another down for Ohio State. He went pro, and the rest was history there. But as he brought up here, Terrell Pryor left Ohio State with a number of passing records. Devere Posey left with some of the all-time receiving marks at Ohio State. Mike Adams was an All-American. Boom Heron, I think, was in the top 10 of rushing for Ohio State. And so you had all these accomplishments. And I look around as someone who had my wins vacated at Notre Dame. Now, those were tied to something academic-related as far as what prompted those to be removed. So I can't ask for those back based on the changes in these rules. And more importantly, Jim Tressel can't get the opportunity lost at Ohio State. He's now in an advisory role or an administrative role at Youngstown State. He can't get that time back that he lost at Ohio State. These guys can't go back and play in games that they weren't a part of or that they would have been suspended for, or have the time of the university not being able to acknowledge their accomplishments given back. But you can make that right now. I look again, and this is just how I've always felt about it. If it wasn't some infraction that had to do with helping you on the field, if it wasn't some instance of performance enhancement that changed the way you operated on the field on game day, I always kind of thought these rules were silly and that taking away wins for them was a dumb punishment in the midst of all of this. And now we've looked at all of this and said, yeah, not only we're not going to punish it anymore, we're going to sanction it. We made rules that allow this stuff to go on. And so I understand people are going to say, well, they were the rules then and you broke them. Well, again, how did that help them win the football games? Again, I'm not asking you. Some players got suspended. We'll never be able to give those guys suspension time back. If we ever repeal drug testing in college athletics, we're not going to be able to give guys back the 5, 6, 8 games they'd miss a season. You can't replace what was taken away in those instances. But with this, with the Tattooed Five, with these Ohio State players who had their records, who had their wins and accomplishments taken away, because of NCAA allegations that wouldn't be a blip on the radar now in this landscape of college football, I don't know why you can't make it right. So these guys can go back around Ohio State and hold their heads a little higher and have their accomplishments celebrated there, the things that they did here. Because again, if this is just in the name of saying, well, you needed to follow the rules, I would ask again how those rules helped them compete better than they did. And if the answer is no, then I'm sorry. We just got to continue to go back to this top conversation about, hey, not all rules are good rules here, and just because it exists doesn't mean it's worth changing the way these guys are celebrated around that campus. That's one and done here at Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Just give them back the wins. We can talk another day about getting my wins back from that 2012 season at Notre Dame, but I digress. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and coming up next, we mentioned Chenea Igwumike is going to join us back here and try and give even more context to what we've seen from Shohei Ohtani in the first half of this 2021 MLB season. Next, you're on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenea and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.